To Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
The Italian firm of Perazzi Shotguns is noted for producing some of the world's most expensive sporting and collectible shotguns. One of the firm's executives, Daniele Perazzi, grandson of the founder, traveled to the United States in May of 2013 to promote his company's products. Mr. Perazzi brought several legally imported and fully documented samples of his company's fine products. His destination was the annual Colorado Gun Collector Show held at the Denver Merchandise Mart. The Denver event is noted as a venue for some of the world's most expensive collector's firearms. But Mr. Perazzi made a huge mistake. He called a taxi cab. You see, Denver has an Orwellian program called TOPS, T-O-P-S, which stands for Taxis on Patrol. The TOPS program is predicated on the ludicrous idea that poorly trained taxi drivers can be the eyes and ears of the police and report crime and terrorist activity. This has resulted in hundreds of amateur James Bonds prowling Denver streets. One of these 007s picked up Mr. Perazzi and helped him load his expensive shotguns into his taxi cab. Then, naturally, in today's insane America, 007 called the Denver cops and told them that he had just delivered an armed, suspected foreign terrorist to the Denver Merchandise Mart. The cops immediately rushed to the show and arrested Mr. Perazzi. According to his lawyer, he was released after an investigation, but police advised Perazzi to leave the city by midnight. Perazzi, obviously sharper than the cabbies and the cops, went one better and immediately left the United States. If you don't think this episode will be played out to our disadvantage in the European press, you are hopelessly naive. If you don't think this will make Americans look like childish authoritarian idiots, you are afraid to honestly look in the mirror. As an American, I'd like to apologize to Mr. Perazzi for his treatment at the hands of my countrymen. I can do that. What I can't do is assure Mr. Perazzi that he experienced an aberration of police state behavior in a free country, and that such an episode will never be repeated. What I can't do is tell Mr. Perazzi that this is not a country in the process of rapidly losing its liberty, common sense, and manners. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. Okay, 22nd of January. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. My name is Cope Reynolds, and have I got a deal for you tonight. I told you we'd talk about the Rampart Report, and we're going to spend some time on that. Got some good stories, got a few other things to share with you. If you can, let me check the sound here, if you can stand by just a second here. Okay, everything looks good there. Let me get over here to my other screen so I can see what we're doing here. Let me talk about a few other things first before we get into the Rampart Report and give everybody time to get in here. And some of these things I'm not going to go over too heavily, just interesting things. In Massachusetts right now, lawmakers over there are trying to, they're introducing a bill to let 16-year-olds vote. 16-year-olds. What could possibly go wrong? We don't even know what bathroom we're supposed to go to, but they want us to vote at 16 years old. I'm completely flabbergasted. I don't even know what to say about that. Yeah, I don't know how many times we've mentioned this on the show, and other people are saying it, you know, and have been saying it for a long time, but it is painfully obvious that these people are truly mentally handicapped. There's definitely something wrong with them. I can't even imagine how these people find their way home after work. And, well, I shouldn't say after work, because most of them ain't working, but after they're spend all day looking for the right bathroom or whatever. Anyway, I won't spend any time on that. It's too stupid, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to pass. I doubt very seriously it'll get much headway, but if it does, you can bet we'll be back here talking about it. In New Mexico, this is a, let me see how old this is. This was about this time last year. I don't know if we're going to be doing it this year or not. But there's a lot of things I miss about New Mexico. The Democrats ain't one of them, and the stupid laws that they got, I mean, it's lost. It's gone. But there are some wonderful things there. The ultimate pork fiesta takes place in New Mexico. And last year, they barbecued 43 pigs, 300 gallons of green chili, and 22,000 tortillas. Son, they had a party. This was a major thing. 4:30 in the morning, they start doing this. And they said the guy that does this cooking oil was frozen that morning. And it gets plenty cold up in that part of the country in February. But he was getting ready for the 19th annual world's largest matanza, an annual fiesta in Belen, New Mexico. Belen's south of Albuquerque, down by Los Lunas. And they celebrate the state's nose-to-tail hog slaughtering festivals. This is, a lot of people probably find this unappetizing, but I find it absolutely fascinating, mouth-watering, and all that. I would love to go to that. This is kind of similar to the big crawfish festival they have down in Brobridge, Louisiana, every year. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to that one once. Remember when Mimi used to be on the show, on the chat room quite often with us, and we talked about that. The night that I did the Cajun music show, we talked about the Crawfish Festival. That is an awesome time. I'll kid you not. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, moving right along. Now, back to, I should have put this right after the first story, where I told you that liberals are mentally deficient. They're mentally handicapped. There's something wrong with them. This guy here, you can tell by looking in his eyes that he's a picture here that there's something wrong with him, but he was working a job on construction in Florida, and this story just came out yesterday, after late afternoon yesterday, and him and his boss was a Trump lover, conservative, Republican, and he was not. They'd been in a few arguments over this. The guy found him, the boss found him the job, gave him a ride every day so he could keep the job. And this guy, his name was Mason Trevor Tony. This guy stabbed his boss to death with a trowel. He doesn't say what kind of trowel, but a trowel is used for several things on a construction job. Primarily smoothing, finishing concrete and putting the mortar between blocks and things like that, mostly. But anyway, he took off and they caught him and brought him back, and he's facing first-degree murder charges, and as it should be. And, of course, his father said he was just a great guy and all that. But he did also say that the guy that he killed, he went to school with this guy. He'd known him his whole life. The father said, the father of the stabber, said he was that the guy that he killed was a friend of the family. His son went to elementary school and middle school and high school with him. And they have no idea other than liberalism is a mental illness. That he was triggered because the guy liked Trump. So there you have it. This is something that I never thought about. And it really makes me think now that we need to be a little more cautious. You know, we're already trying to be cautious about a million different things. You know, the smart TVs and the listening devices that are everywhere you go and cameras all over the place. But apparently, HP, Hewlett-Packard here, was trying to, this guy, the article, the title here says HP remotely kills perfectly good ink cartridge with DRM. The half-used ink cartridge wouldn't sell until it was re-enrolled in the HP Instant Ink program for $4.95 a month. This guy was trying to print out a tweet about peeing on toilet seats, of all things, when his printer said it wasn't going to happen. His printer had plenty of ink, but HP had remotely disabled the printer because he'd canceled a service called Instant Ink. This is a monthly service charge that HP levies on their for the pleasure of using ink cartridges in certain printers, which doesn't make a bit of sense to me. But anyway, he had a printer full of ink and no way to print until he reactivated his subscription through HP. And they were able to do all this remotely. It's not an automatic thing that happens. It's something that I'm sure there's some type of a signal or something. You know, most of these are these printers are hooked up either through a computer or through a phone line or through Bluetooth in some way. And apparently it's yet another thing that they have access to from Philadelphia or wherever in the hell they're at. I guess they'd had an issue with Lexmark with this before. The Supreme Court ruled that Lexmark had exhausted its patent to its printer cartridges and that Impression Products was free to refill used ink cartridges and resell them. And then HP gets in there. And now that's quite a racket. That's quite a deal there where you can sell brand new cartridges and then sell the apparently half-used ones here and then shut them down. I'm not sure what all they're doing there, but anyway. You know, when I was in Europe, we had we'd send people. Well, we wouldn't send people. That was stupid. No, we didn't send people. We got shipments of steel from Bethlehem Steel in Pennsylvania. And one of the things that I discovered over there one day while I was working in a shop where there was a place, certain times we worked behind closed doors. You had to have a top secret clearance maybe it's top secret, I don't remember. Anyway, to work on the M1 tanks back in those days. I don't know if you still do or not, but any repairs on the skirting and stuff like that had to be done behind closed doors. And I was looking at some of this steel, and it was made in Belgium. So they shipped the steel to Pennsylvania, put it on a boat or a plane or something and send it back to Germany for us to use. All the time me thinking that we were getting this directly from Bethlehem Steel, that it was being made in Pennsylvania. So what I'm getting at is I could have jumped in a truck and run to Belgium in like 6 hours or whatever it was and picked that up and brought it back without, you know, $1 million worth of shipping charges and everything, however they got it back. But anyway, this next story is similar to that. They say there's fresh fish caught off of the coast of Britain. It goes on a 10,000-mile round trip before returning to the United Kingdom supermarkets. It is sent on, and they don't even fly it. It shows the path here. It comes from the UK, and the ship goes around through, I believe that's the Strait of Gibraltar, I'm not positive, and Mediterranean Sea down, I'm not sure, I don't know if that's Cape Horn or not, but anyway, it goes through around the top of Africa and under Saudi Arabia and over to somewhere on the coast of China or Taiwan or somewhere over there, and goes back the same way. This does not qualify as fresh fish. It said workers are paid £2 a day to fillet and refreeze the fish before it shipped 5,000 miles back to Britain 10 weeks later. So they're freezing this in the UK, sending it on frozen, in a frozen container or whatever to China, where they thaw it out, process it, refreeze it, and send it back to Great Britain. And those people think they're getting fresh fish. This fresh fish has already practically been around the world and before it gets to your refrigerator. They say that the Chinese workers are expert fillets, and their British counterparts simply do not have the skills or facilities to match. Wouldn't it be easier, cheaper to get however many of those Chinamen and bring them back over to England and have them process it over there, or teach the other guys how to do it or something? There's got to be a better way. Eco experts have blasted the practice, which produces thousands of tons of harmful CO2 emission. So they've got this ship putting all this CO2 into the air for a 10,000-mile trip. And that's really similar to buying steel from Pennsylvania that I could have picked up 200 miles away from Belgium. Oh, well. Let me check here and see. No, we're not quite at break time yet, so we'll keep marching here. We'll probably hit that Rampart report right after break. This is a pretty good story. This is kind of a survival story. Man kills coyote with bare hands after it attacks his 2-year-old son. This story just came out yesterday in New Hampshire. The guy said he suffocated a coyote after it attacked his 2-year-old son. He was hiking with his family on a trail when the coyote grabbed his son's coat and drug him to the ground. The coyote bit him twice during the struggle. It was snapping and attacking and lunging at him. And the reason why it got me on the chest, because it was able to jump on me, he said. Earlier in the day, the same coyote attacked a vehicle. So I'm thinking this coyote may be rabid. I don't know. Went after 2 dogs in the yard and then turned on their owner. Guy said he was just trying to run in the house as fast as he could, and I just got to the slider. It bit me as I was trying to get into the house. But guy who finally brought this rampaging coyote to a screeching halt here said I straddled it and sat down on it. And then scissor locked it as tight as I could in Hulk Hogan fashion there, I guess. And he pushed the coyote snout into the snow and held it there. And 10 minutes he fought this coyote. I don't know who was timing it, but that's what they're saying here. But they're saying this struggle may have saved his life, him and his family. It doesn't say anything. Let's see. It does too. New Hampshire Fish and Game officers collected the coyote's remains, which will be tested for rabies. My money goes for positive test there. Coyotes don't typically act that way at all. I've seen countless tens of thousands of coyotes in the places that I've lived and been around them and close to them and out camping and everything and never seen a coyote act like that. But I have heard of coyotes, and they have all been rabid when they do something like that. All right. Well, I guess this looks like a pretty good time to take a little break. Got some interesting stuff to come up here. A couple more short stories, and then we're going to get on to the Rampart Report. So stay with me, and I'll be back in just a minute.
I'll be back.
You got your million bucks, you got your flashy sports car, you got your trophy girls, man, you think you're a star, you got your teeth bleached, you like to play the rich game, yeah, you think you're a cowboy, the new Jesse James. Kick your ass, I could jack your jaw, put you flat in the dirt, boy, yeah, I'd have a ball, so go ahead and act up, like your John Wayne son, but things can change fast. Steal my girl, better bring your big friend, another one or two, cause you're gonna need them. You're a little too small to be calling me names. I'm about to knock that smirky little grin right off your face. Kick your ass, I could jack your jaw, put you flat in the dirt, boy, yeah, I'd have a ball, so go ahead and act up, like your John Wayne son, but things can change fast.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hang around.
absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. I think it all worked out pretty good. We're still testing and doing some new stuff here, but it seemed like it worked all right. So let me delete that. Nope, let's don't delete that. Okay. All right, let's get on to a couple other stories I want to do before we do the Rampart report. And this is, I put on Facebook, I said, you know, it looks like a showdown's coming here. And we've been saying this for I don't know how long. And, you know, it keeps getting closer and keeps getting closer, and we keep not changing our mind. Everything is always something new here. But we're seeing more and more, we've talked about this a couple of times, more and more sheriffs and police officers are, mostly sheriffs and deputies, are standing up against these red flag laws and stuff. Virginia sheriffs showed up. Now, I don't know, it said one showed up and it has a picture of three of them holding the sign up here. So maybe it was all from the same department. But anyway, they showed up there at this big rally in Virginia, and there was also a picture here recently of several New Mexico sheriffs. Now, New Mexico is a great state. No, I said this earlier. I would have no problem with going back to New Mexico if it wasn't for the politics. There's a lot of good, strong, hardcore conservative people there. But again, like so many places, it's Albuquerque and Santa Fe and Las Cruces. Whatever happens there, that happens all over the state. There's just not enough people around throughout the state to counter that. But there was a picture of a number of New Mexico sheriffs here that said this stuff will not be enforced. We will not comply. And there was probably, that picture probably had probably eight sheriffs in it. Six or eight, I don't remember. But it's interesting. We got a lot of neat stuff happening here. All right, I'm going to save that one for later. And I think, you know what, I'm going to save this one for later, too. If we have time afterwards, we'll do that. But I want to talk about this Rampart report. If you recall, oh, great, now I got to bring that thing back. If you recall, this was a big deal, and all the stuff that's going on with Matt Shea and all this is related to the Rampart report, and it's all goes down to one individual that started this stuff. Her name is M.D. Lauder. It's spelled Laughter. We talked about her before a long time ago. But I'm not sure what Melissa's her name. I'm not sure what M.D. Lauder has against Matt Shea. And she has attacked Matt Shea and the Coalition of Western States repeatedly, over and over and over and over. And I don't know what drives her. I don't have no idea what her problem is here. But regardless of what it is very consistent and very, very hateful, hate-driven, the way she does stuff here. And, you know, we had I say we had. I got to see a report from a professional, a healthcare professional. I can't get too deep into that, but I actually have the report, and at some point later, I might be able to share that with you. But for right now, just take my word for it. Or not, I don't care. It's my show. I'm going to say it anyway. But this healthcare professional, without going into great detail, said that she was smart, articulate, but angry, and, you know, would use the several other adjectives. Yeah, I think that's right. Describing her mental capacity, her mental whatever, or lack of, maybe. It's sad because she has the potential to be a great patriot. She has the potential to get, and the intelligence to get the job done, to get the word out, to encourage people and motivate people. But instead, she uses it for exactly the opposite that we'd like to see her do. But anyway, we won't spend any more time on her. But we will, because she's responsible for this Rampart report. She got, as I told you, it was a private group here, and I, from what I can understand, she's the kind of the ramrod of this little report here. And this report has so much hate and so much false stuff, so much half-truths, untruths, sensationalized little tidbits of truth here and there. I mean, it's almost comical. It would be comical to you if you, it's kind of comical to me, because I was actually mentioned in the report, and my group was mentioned in the report, and Anthony Bosworth and Matt Shea and quite a few people that I know. And I've told you numerous times, especially during this last attack on Matt Shea, that Matt Shea is a, take the rancher part out, and Matt Shea is a younger Lavoie Finicum. Matt Shea is just dripping with integrity, and he is a hardcore, no compromise constitutional conservative. He's representative up in Washington, if you didn't already know that. And he is a fantastic individual. He's a friend of mine. He's a God-fearing man. He's everything that you would like to see your sons grow up to be, if they haven't already. Maybe I should rephrase that. He's everything I'd like to see my son grow up to be. That way I don't pick anybody out there. But so how someone can take that man or take any information and attack that man in the way, because so many people know him. Hundreds and hundreds of people know him and know what he is. And I mean, in spite of his hardcore conservative stance, he's been reelected, I don't know how many times, at least once that I know of, and I'm pretty sure we will again, and a lot of it may be due to this report. But one of the things that she says in here, in the beginning, that Matt Shea made a call to arms over Bundy Ranch and all that, and that I was one of those that listened to this thing and charged off to Bundy Ranch. When this happened, when Bundy Ranch, I didn't even know Matt Shea. I've never heard his name. I'd never met him. I knew nothing whatsoever about him. I knew very little about Anthony Bosworth. It was at Bundy Ranch that I re-met him. You know, we met him up in northern Idaho at a rally up there one time. Didn't spend a whole lot of time with him, and he remembered me at Bundy Ranch, and we got together, and we have since become very dear friends. But at this time, I didn't really know either one of them. So when I went to Bundy Ranch, it was completely 100% my idea. I didn't ask the group what they thought, and I didn't tell them to come along. I said, I'm going. If you want to go, I'm pulling out tomorrow. And that's about what it boiled down to. I didn't insist anybody go or anything like that. So the sole purpose that we went up there, the one and only purpose that we went there for, is to help ensure the safety of Clive and Bundy and his family. I didn't care about the cows. I didn't care. You know, we just wanted to make sure that Cliven was safe. I didn't know Cliven either, except through Facebook posts, same way I met LaVoy Finicum. Actually, I met LaVoy Finicum through, I got to know him through YouTube videos. Man. Anyway, and she uses one of my... Let me stop right here and tell you how a lot of this next part of this information came about. There's a guy out there that Matt Shea used to trust. Everybody used to trust him. Nobody knows what made him turn. His name is Jay Pounder. He goes by Fox 519. And this is where, apparently, for whatever reason, he went off the deep end and is also attacking Matt. He was Matt's security for a while. And it just completely blows me away that this could have taken this turn of events. But this is how she found out, MD Lauder found out about some of this stuff, is through him, because he, being security for Matt, was privy to some of the, you know, emails and private messages and stuff like that. And he shared that stuff with her. And, you know, when we've talked about this many times, you know how you can take a one sentence out of a paragraph, or take a few words that are true but may not mean a damn thing about what you're talking about, completely out of context. So they picked out some of these things out of these private messages and made Matt look like, as this report says, a domestic terrorist. And one of the things that makes her little report here sound like a 1970s, you know, Dick Tracy novel or something, she's talking about code names. There's no code names in here. Everybody on, or almost everybody on Facebook and emails and all this stuff, you know, there's not a lot of people out there that use their real names for that, for whatever reason. It's not, you know, to hide anything or what, saying some it is. But, you know, on my email, I got several different emails and I got different names on all of them. But since they intercepted these, they, not due to lack of security of the email program, but because of him being privy to some of this stuff, I know it's very, very exciting and very romantic to say, yeah, blah, blah, you know, such and such code name is, you know, Joe Blow or Private Joe Snuffy or whatever. There's no code name. Everybody in the world knows what these names are. It's not like it's something out of you know, unintended consequences or something like that. It's nothing more than part of an email address, handles that I've used on various social media outlets, hardly ever used anywhere outside of public venues. So this term code name was thrown around like I don't know what. So farther on down into the report, actually on page 32, if you want to check it out, the report is online. You can download it and check it out and laugh at it your own self if you want to. But look at section C on page 32. Most of that is bogus. It has to do with the I-594 rally that happened up in Olympia that you've heard about a million times. And actually got a radio show from us while we were there at that. I was honored to be a part of that. But they said that every time Matt Shea would say certain things, that Anthony Bosworth would wave flags out there to pinpoint people that disagreed with Matt Shea. I don't know where she got this crap. I don't have where in the world, who made that up, if it's part of, I don't know. I was there. Anthony was almost never out of my sight. And if somebody was speaking, I was in charge of security for dignitaries there, for the two or three representatives and everything was there, including Matt Shea. Anthony was closer to Matt Shea. He was his personal security. So we worked together and we were right there on top of each other all the time. We were never out of each other's sight. So this whole flag thing is completely a myth. Yes, he was there. He was not watching the crowd other than from a security standpoint and, trying to listen to what the speakers are saying, but we still have to watch what's going on behind the scenes, actually behind the speakers, behind the tents and everything where they were set up. So this is completely bogus. It says that he was doing this trying to incite violence, and that is an outright lie. The very last thing that anyone from our side would have wanted in this extremely well-organized, huge, peaceful rally was violence of any type to any degree whatsoever. On farther down in the report, it says on page 37, if you want to look at it, there was so much stuff. Well, let me finish this. It said she's putting in little pieces of information here. I have no idea why, but it had year 2008 and it states, and I quote, Barack Obama was elected as the first African-American United States president. Okay. And so your point, as with so much of this bogus report, the lack of relevance here was mind-boggling in a lot of this stuff. LFA is mentioned numerous times, Liberty for All mentioned numerous times as a militia. This is not remotely true either. We've talked about this. You know this. Go to our website. Go to our Facebook pages. That is not what the LFA is about. It's not what we do. On page 68, this is a good one here. It said, by the way, this report is 101 pages long, but if you want to read it, you only need to read about 87 because a lot of it's references and stuff at the end, but 86, 87, something like that. But about the middle of page, on page 68, it says that Mike Vanderbilt spoke at the rally with a rifle strapped across his back. That is also not true. I have a picture of him speaking on that day. He only spoke one time. And it is obviously that rally that you can compare to other pictures up there. Actually, I have two pictures of him speaking. But he was, the same speech. It's not that he came back. He didn't have a chance to don his rifle in the middle of a speech or anything. And clearly, in this photograph, there is no rifle strapped to him. So towards the end of that, I'll have to say that the whole thing here is just, it's comical. I again don't understand what her, if you read the report, if you go down through it, even if you just skim through it fairly quickly, you'll see that there's a whole bunch of little details. Like I said, in 2008, somebody became president. Then this date, somebody did that. And it has nothing to do, nothing whatsoever. In your wildest fantasies, can you attach any of this information with the rest of the crux of the report? One thing she conveniently left out of all the detail she was trying to put in is during the funeral proceedings, not during the funeral itself, but during the time we were all up in Kanab, Utah, when LaVoy, for LaVoy's funeral, she and her little boyfriend, who was married at the time, come bursting into the meeting that we were having. It was a cows meeting. And I don't know what her problem was or what she was mad about. But anyway, she come in. She had a handgun strapped on her. It was a Ruger, a P-89 or something like that, strapped on her hip. And she was getting all mad and put her hand on that gun several times while she's doing this. And like I said, she conveniently left all that out of her report. So as it says in the report, like 100 times or more, it is more probable than not that she should be considered a danger to herself and everyone around her. This thing, this Rampart report, should not in any way, shape, form, or fashion be considered a truthful, accurate documentary of events, because it is not. There are numerous places in it where the true events, actual events, took place and were mentioned, but the detail that goes along with them is, I won't say it's all 100% false, but I'm sure easily 80% or more. I don't know what the percentage is, but largely it is not true. So you can take that for what it's worth. If it's worth anything to you, it's not worth anything to me, but I thought I'd share it with you anyway, just because. All right, we're getting close to quitting time here, so let me jump over here and share a couple of things with you real quick. You know, I talked about this a long time ago, back when it first happened, but I want to mention it again because it's just kind of interesting. I want to bring it up. We'd actually talked about it on the show. If you go back and look through the archives and stuff, you'll probably find it where we talked about it, but it was 10 years ago. There's a group of hunters in Alabama. I don't know if they're still in business or not. I didn't check. But it's called Holy Smoke. And Alabama hunters are loading cremated remains of people into shotgun shells so that they could be launched out into their, across the lake at their favorite hunting ground, duck hunting areas, or blasted at a turkey in their, you know, whatever. These are people that, here, one guy says he's 59 years old, and he has already made arrangements for this to happen. He said, "I will rest in peace knowing that the last thing that turkey will see is me screaming at him at about 900 feet a second." This costs you $850. And it's not that bad. I mean, as far as, you know, other burial expenses and stuff, and they're taking your remains and loading them in shotgun shells, you'll get either 250 shotgun shells, 100 rifle cartridges, or 250 pistol cartridges, all packed with enough of the remains that you still got room for powder to make the shell work, the cartridge work. Discounts are available for police, military, and fire personnel. After the funeral rites, scattered remains become trodden dirt, gravesites go unvisited, and ash-filled urns set around unnoticed. Holding up a loved one for their one final duck hunt would be more fitting send-off, especially for avid sportsmen. We want to give people an alternative to celebrate a person's life. And it's really, it may sound goofy, but it's really kind of I don't believe in cremation to start with. But, you know, if you do and you want to do it, that's fine. But it said to all of his 7 employees here are all good Christians with good moral values and everything. So just because you're getting shot out of a gun doesn't make it irreverent. But anyway. So I thought that was kind of a neat idea for whatever that's worth to anybody. Okay, well, it's time for me to scoot on out here, and I'll be back hopefully Friday with Liberty Lounge. And, I'll be back because I'm going to, if nothing else, I'll have a pre-record I can start those remotely and keep everything running here. Let me remind you again that Concretin has his podcast website up where his shows are being stored. We're cutting down on the amount of music that we have in our archives here and limiting that mostly to Liberty Lounge, even if taking even some of those out of there. And you can go to joyfulnoise.podbean.com. Noise is spelled with a Y, joyfulnoise.podbean.com, and you can catch Concretin's archives, his past shows, anytime you want to. So. All right, well, I'm out of here, and I will see you guys come about Friday.
Friday will be the 23rd, 24th.
Yeah, it'll be the 24th. All right, thanks for joining me. Good night.